Hello and welcome to another very rainy and thundery episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, Link Flores, your host. Today is the 15th of May, it's been a busy day already. So I will get into it without boring you guys so much. Let's get through the housekeeping stuff first. Thank you, everybody, for your support via Patreon. Go to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios for just $3 a month. You can help support a podcast like this one, most namely, especially this one. And I'm going to be working out some extra episodes now that things have kind of simmered down. The episodes there are basically going to be one free one for everybody who's following, whether you're subscribed or not, and then two special free ones. Oh, well, two special paid ones for those who are paid subscribers. And those are going to be fueled by your questions or whatever else I come up with. So you can either come up with some ideas for me, come up with a theme, ask me a question, ask for advice, give me a recipe, whatever. Hit me up there though at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. That's patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Also, still doing my streaming thing over on Twitch. As long as the power holds and the internet stays running, I will be doing that this afternoon. So probably by the time you finally hear this podcast, I'll be streaming already. But I usually go between 3 and 4 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then I'm trying to pull a stream out of my butt sometime on Sundays. Gonna maybe shoot for like 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard. Doing a little bit of drawing, just chatting with the community and whatnot. Just enjoying being online and doing gaming and stuff like that. And also, I'm going to be working on some new designs for my Streamlabs store, which you can see in the description. I'm not going to bother pushing it just yet because every time I try to push forward with it, something happens and I have to push everything back. So we're just going to wait on that. How's that sound? Good? Great. Groovy. So let's get into it. There's a lot of stuff that goes along with home ownership. There's, obviously there's the financial stuff, the paperwork, the design and decoration and all that. One of the things you don't really think about as often as maybe you should is what the outside of the house looks like. You usually think about whether you want a certain type of lighting outside, what kind of tiles you want, or what kind of siding you want, what kind of shingles you want. You don't really often take enough time to appreciate how the outside looks and when it's all built. You know what I mean? Just simple maintenance. Is the paint fading? Do you have wasp nests? Do you have pollen buildup on your screens, for example? And that was something that we had been thinking about recently because we have a little screened enclosure, and the density of the screen is what's called 20/20 screen or no-see-um screen. It does a really great job of keeping out a lot of insects, even like the little small little no-see-ums and whatnot. But the one really sad thing about it is because it's so dense, it doesn't let a lot of wind through, which is a blessing and a curse. Because on the one hand, if it's hot outside, you definitely need a fan out there. Otherwise, you're gonna cook. But it also means that pollen can't necessarily get inside so easily until it does. And we haven't really had an opportunity to, get a pressure washer or anything like that which I'd like to do at one point, clean the outside of the house, get under the eaves, get the can lights and make sure there's no insects and stuff like that living in them or dead up in there with spider webs and whatnot. It's just little ticky-tack maintenance kind of things. So this past week, the wife and I were talking about it, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go pick up a hose and a reel and a sprayer, and at least then I can kind of spray down the back porch so it's livable out there. It's gotten to the point where just pollen builds up, dust, and if you go out there and have a smoke, then there's cigarette ash, or somebody has a hookah, which was happening for a couple of times. We had some friends over, and they bring a hookah. You got little bits of charcoal or tobacco that falls out of the thing and it's on the ground. You don't really think about it until it starts to add up. And I was like, all right, today's the day. I went and picked the hose and the reel and the nozzle up yesterday. But we're currently also having some shelving built in the house. So I knew that today was going to be the day where I was going to have to move the entertainment center, clear out the laundry room so that all that stuff can be put there. And as it turns out, the guy wasn't able to make it today. So, I mean, good for me. Got the prep work done. Most everything is out of the way, off the wall and everything like that. So he got plenty of room to work. But just meant I had a little bit more time for myself today. So I opted to go ahead and test out this new hose and spray down the enclosure. And, you know, like I said, when I tell you, you never really think about it, you really don't. And I got outside and I started, you know, hosing the thing down. I was prepped and ready to go. And just the yellow green of the pollen water that came off of there. I don't have allergies. And I started to itch just looking at it. I'm like, oh my God, this has been out here this whole time. It's filthy, dude. So now it makes me really want to go and get a pressure washer and really give that thing a good scrub down. But yeah, man, it's just, I looked around, the more I started looking at just the enclosure itself, I'm like, there's cobwebs in the corners, you know, just because we've been here for a year, but I mean, who really is out there pressure washing their enclosure every couple months? Just little things that I'm noticing, like, man, that needs to get fixed. That needs to get taken care of. So, I mean, I've just started thinking about that today. It's so weird, you know? You think about all the normal stuff, right? Like, you know, sweeping your floor or cleaning your bathroom, doing your dishes. But you don't really think about the little things, you know, and they can add up real fast if you're not careful. It doesn't seem like a lot, but just dusting your entertainment center, okay? Like, who really thinks about it on a regular basis? I think most of us probably do it like maybe once every couple of months or if the mood strikes us, but nobody's on a regular basis cleaning it, I don't think, right? I used to. It just seemed like now with more house, there's more shit to clean. So it just gets frustrating. And I don't want to do it all myself. You know what I mean? No one wants to do it, period, I think. But I don't want to do it all myself. It fucking sucks. Especially, you know, even if you don't have allergies, just moving all that dust around and vacuuming. And then you're hot and you're sweaty. Ugh. It wasn't horrible, but it just made me start to think about that kind of stuff, man. Just, I don't know. I kind of miss apartment living in a way. There's less stuff to deal with. There's less space, so you didn't have as much crap, you know what I mean? And it was easier to clean. It's quick. You know what I mean? You an hour and a half to most on a Saturday, you're done with all your cleaning for the week. Shit, if you're really on your game and you just keep things tidy in general throughout the week, you can do that maybe once a month and get away with it. You know, that's where you do the deep clean, where you wipe down the fans, baseboards, you know what I mean? Dust everything. You do that once a month if you just are generally neat and you don't have a bunch of crap in your house. It's just a weird thing. I got to start thinking about it. I think the other thing was, too, one of my friends posted something on Facebook about how if you're in a rent-controlled apartment, which I don't think I've ever had the privilege of being in, that you need to check with the Department of Housing to make sure it actually is what it says, what your landlord says it is, and to make sure that you're not being overcharged. And I started thinking about apartment living. I'm like, no, never really had the luxury of being in a rent-controlled place. But I did kind of like not having to worry about shit breaking down or, you know, having to paint the outside or pressure wash this or clean that. Like, you know, most of the time I just kept the inside clean and you're done. You're Gucci. With the house, there's so much other stuff to take into consideration. It's not bad. It's just a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't really fully consider, you know, because I never had the opportunity. I've always lived in an apartment for most of my life. You know, I mean, as an adult, I never rented a home until recently. So it was always just apartment living. And it's just kind of peculiar to look at it and go, how much stuff did I miss out on? Maybe. I don't think I necessarily missed out, but like just, you know, certain experiences that some people have when they're my age that I just didn't, or I just eschewed on my own volition. I'm like, I don't really need that. It's got me thinking about it. Peculiar stuff, man. It's been a week. And I knew I was going to be late with the podcast this week, but I'm like, you know what? You got to give me a little bit of slack trying to get back into this. But I'm going to get there. I got my subscriber giveaway prizes mailed out finally. That was super cool. I'm always stoked to get those kinds of things into people's hands. That's another thing, too, I realized. I gotta do my office up a little bit. I gotta get some shelving and stuff in here to make it livable. So it doesn't look like, I don't know. It looks like the beginning of a Hoarders episode. Like Dan was generally a neat and clean guy up until college. And then when he wasn't living at home, he just started collecting stuff. That's kind of what my fucking office looks like. I got little bits of knickknacks here and there. Boxes spirited away in the corners, you know, and it's like, it's not messy, but it's just enough clutter that it bugs me sometimes. And I gotta figure out a way to get it all sorted and neatly put away so I don't feel restless, I guess is probably the best word. That's what I get. I guess I get restless when I see clutter or mess, and it bothers me. Some people I know can just sit there and just let it ride. They're not gonna get bothered, they're not gonna do shit about it. But it actually irks me and it makes me not have peace. So, you know, I can't sleep, I can't function right, I can't think, I don't want to eat. You know what I mean? Just because this is not in order and it fucks with my head. So that's one of the things I definitely want to do this next month is get this office cleaned up, sorted out, and just squared away. So I don't feel out of place in my own place. I don't know if anybody else feels that way. You guys ever get that? Just, I'm here, I live here, this is my stuff, but I kind of don't feel at home because of X, Y, or Z thing. Like, it feels like I don't really live here just because I haven't found a way to make this fit me. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody or not. And I think it really is just there's so much space and so much stuff. I'm not used to having all this extra stuff. It doesn't make me feel peaceful or settled. It makes me feel like, I don't know. It makes me feel like a pack rat. You know what I mean? Like I'm just stuffing shit in the corners for, and I'm like, for what? I don't know. I've never really had that problem before. And I mean, some people are like, well, it's kind of, you know, part of settling down. I'm like, I don't feel like I want to though. Not that I don't want to, you know, have a home and whatnot, but I just don't want to settle. I don't want to get so comfortable that, you know, before I look around, I've got like just stacks of shit laying around. You know, I'm doing stuff and operating in a place that I don't fully recognize or feel entirely comfortable in because, you know, there's always something, you know, whether it's a spot on the floor that somebody didn't wipe up when they spilled a drink of something here or, you know, something the cat's torn up and left in the corner. Or if it's something we just neglected because we were in the middle of rush doing other shit and it just got sat there. It just feels like there's always something to do. And it's not like it's productive work either. I think that'd be the difference. If it was actually something productive and it was moving something forward, but it's just like more busy work. Just more shit to clean up, more shit to look after. I don't know. It's a weird feeling too. You know what I mean? Because like I'm happy, I'm grateful for what I've got, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, this is a lot though. It's a lot more than I anticipated, and it throws me for a loop sometimes. I think that's what it was today. I just looked around, I'm like, do I really need all this shit? I don't know. I mean, it could just be me. I'm very different individual, so I'm sure other people probably never even blink at this kind of thing, but it's just something that I noticed about myself. But I mean, still came in here and just got settled in, start podcast. Well, I didn't come in right after doing the outside, of course. Oh, that's gross. No, it's like filthy. So, letting my brand new water hose drain out a little bit so it doesn't molder or whatever. And then came inside, grabbed a shower. And part of me is like, I want to grab some food, but I'm like, I gotta hurry up and get this podcast done. So I'm running in here to just kind of, you know, get myself organized, get to a good spot where I can like, all right, I'm ready to rock. Let's talk about some stuff. And I was looking at one of my buddies' posts on Facebook, super excited for, and I'm not knocking this either, by the way. I actually, you know, I'm not a huge fan of this franchise as far as games are concerned, but I always thought it was weird that the Assassin's Creed franchise, in all of its years of incept of you know, since it was ever created, I lost my train of thought there. But in all the years that Assassin's Creed has been a thing, this is now just 2024 when they're finally taking the series to one of the most logical conclusions that you could have. Japan. You know what I mean? Like, when you think about assassins, like, ninjas are almost immediately spring to mind. They're just finally getting to Japan. They went to China. Okay? They went to ancient East. They went to colonial USA before they went to Japan. And everybody's super jazzed for it. And I gotta admit, I'm not impressed. I never really liked the franchise as a whole. And I just think, like, you took 15, 20 years to finally get to the most logical conclusion there possibly was. This is stupid. I would have rolled, if you had told me that I would have to wait. If you had told me, like, 15 years ago that I would have to wait almost two decades for an Assassin's Creed game set in actual Japan, you know, where, like, ninjas are from. And if you know anything about the games, you can tell they're pretty much dressed like ninjas without masks. Come on, dude. And you just now made it here? I would have said that Tenchu Stealth Assassins would have made a comeback before that would have happened. Before, like, we would have to wait 15 years for an Assassin's Creed game in Japan. People way so happy. I'm like, you know what? Good for you, dude. I just find it kind of dumb that, like, after all the years of flagging sales and, you know, the same staid mechanics over and over and over again, now they're like, ninjas, yeah? And people are like, yeah! And I'm over here like, all right. Neat. You just go back and play Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice again. That's probably the better move. But all right. I don't know. And it's fun, too, because it's funny to me, because I haven't had a lot of gaming time. Just feels like I never had time to sit down and just enjoy just a gameplay session just for the shit of it. You know what I mean? Just sit down and enjoy yourself. And I hate that. I love gaming. You know, it's one of my favorite hobbies. You know what I mean? I love art and music, but just feels like there's never any time. And then when you do have the time to do it, you feel guilty, like you're missing out on something. Like, you should be doing something else instead of enjoying yourself, shouldn't you? There's no reason for you to be having fun right now. Why would you? You just feel guilty the whole time. Like, you don't deserve to have fun or do anything. God forbid a vacation. I wouldn't even know what a fucking vacation looked like at this point in my life. So, like, just sitting around playing games is as close as I get. So I'm stoked, actually, because, like, I am going to be focusing on some more just kind of chill vibe games so that when I get into it, it doesn't feel like work. Anybody else did that? Like, you have a hobby that you enjoy and you feel like you're trying to progress in it for whatever reason, to whatever end that your heart desires. But then at a certain point, it starts to feel like a job. And I know you're probably going to laugh and be like, yeah, but you chose to do game streaming. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, when you have a game and you're like, oh, I'm excited for this game. And then the actual, just the actual playing of the game, the way the game's constructed, how it's designed, the missions, the quests, you know, the gameplay mechanics just start to feel like a chore. I know that that's how I felt. Like, I know you guys heard me carp on about Destiny 2. But that's how I felt like the last year or so of Destiny 2. Like, this is fucking work. I'd rather actually go to a job than play this game. That's sad. Like, when a game actually makes you feel so sad that you, like, rather go and work a retail job for $8.50 an hour than play a game for free. Just looking around the games industry in general, I don't know. It feels like that's happening a lot. Like, maybe some of the joy of gaming is gone from the industry, and because it's become an industry, right? I'm worried that this is actually going to be another, there's going to be another video game crash like there was back in the 80s, where some of these manufacturers and companies are just going to start bellying up. I mean, we've heard about all the closures and, you know, mergers and acquisitions and sales and, you know, just the layoffs. Good God, the layoffs just in the last year alone. just thousands of people laid off from AAA gaming companies and even smaller ones. It feels like it's a bad time for this industry. And it sucks because I love gaming and I love the idea of being able to craft it. I want to get involved with gaming, with voice acting or art, something in the gaming industry. I'd love to get into this, but man, it feels like a scary ass time to try. And of course, of all the times, right? Coming out the end of a global pandemic, you'd think they'd be like, all right, we can get back to the business of making fun things for people to have fun with. And it just got worse. Somehow, like even though their games weren't coming out on a regular schedule throughout the pandemic, somehow it seemed like a more vibrant time to be in that industry. And maybe it was just because people were kind of scared. People were worried. People obviously were sick and dying. And so like that little glimmer of hope gave us something to latch onto and to feel excited about. But yeah, it was crazy that it felt more alive over those 2.5 years or so than it does just as we're sitting here in 2024. I don't know how to explain it. I'm kind of at a loss for words, which is weird for me because I talk all the time. And normally you couldn't get me to shut up about this stuff, but it's actually kind of scary and weird. Not sure what to think. Yeah, that was depressing and sad. I'm not trying to be depressing and sad. I'm just noticing stuff lately, and it's kind of taking me aback a little bit. Just maybe it's time to like reassess a couple of things, but I don't know. Anyway, while we're on the subject of gaming, I am going to be streaming today on Twitch. Like I said, by the time you get this podcast to your earballs, I probably have already started or it's already over. Just depends on when it loads for whatever app you're on. But I've been trying to, like I said, switch over to more RPGs, like role-playing games and stuff throughout this year. And I've enjoyed that a little bit more, I think, than, some of the action and shooter games. Oh my goodness, really? Where's this yawn coming from? Just being able to be a little bit more strategic with my gameplay, analyze things a little bit more, and then also chat with people. You know what I mean? I love chatting with the folks in my Twitch channel. It's fun. So I've been going back to Baldur's Gate 3 because on the weekends, my wife and a couple of friends have a multiplayer session of this game. For those of you who don't know anything about gaming, this is going to go way over your head, but trust me, it's kind of like getting together to play a board game, but you're all in separate places of the country on a computer. That's about the difference. And when we get together to play it, we're all so far ahead from where I actually am in my solo playthrough of the game. It's kind of embarrassing. So now I'm trying to play catch up and clean up, and I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I'm enjoying it a lot, and I'm realizing just how much I enjoyed a single player experience. Not that I don't mind gaming with friends at all. I mean, of course I love that. I've kind of cut my teeth on gaming in that way, but I really do enjoy a nice single player experience where I can just kind of go and explore and, do things at my own pace. I think it might be the only criticism that I have of myself when it comes to playing games like this on stream, is that so many people are in it for the action. You're like, oh, I want to see all this crazy stuff. I'm like, I want to see all the stuff. I get shit a lot for it. And it's like, oh my God, you're still doing this part? I'm like, shut up. I'm playing the game the way I want to play it. If you want to play it the way you want to play it, feel free to do that. But this is what I'm here. This is what I'm doing. You don't like it. It's okay. It's not for you. Not everything is for everyone. But shut up about it. Like, damn, dog. I know it sounds like I'm being mean, but I'm being quite honest. And it's also because I think if you're going to sit here and complain, you got other things you could be doing with your time. Go do those things. I'm totally okay with that. I'm not going to be mad at all if you decide, like, hey, I want to do something different. Okay. Cool by me, bro. Do what you do. But I love it. And I was apologizing for a while for like the pace at which I approach a certain game. Not anymore. Because I figure if I'm not having fun, then nobody else will either. And if I'm just doing stuff just for the sake of having people to watch along with me, and the joy isn't there, I figure it's going to come through sooner or later, right? Like, eventually people will go, oh, yeah, you're not having fun. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do that. I want people to enjoy it. I mean, if you're going to actually sit and actively watch somebody else do a game, like, or gameplays and stuff like that, it should be fun. Especially since, you know, people are going to give you shit for watching in the first place. God, that's funny. I see that a lot, too. Are you going to sit there and watch somebody else play a game? Don't talk to me if you ever watch football or soccer or baseball or any other sport. Shut up to me if you have a problem with people watching other people on Twitch. And you do the exact same shit. You're not going out there, you know, kicking a football around. You're not making any, you know, base runs or anything like that. So shut up. Let people have their stuff. It's so weird that, like, gaming is so vilified as a hobby. You know what I mean? But then you get, like, a bunch of grown-ass people going out to play softball. You know what I mean? Which is essentially a kid's game. That's not blinked at. Oh, it's because they're outside and getting exercise. And getting fucked up, too. I mean, people get their asses wrecked playing just league sports when they're in their 30s and 40s. The worst you might hear about somebody getting is carpal tunnel. You know what I mean? You won't get deep vein thrombosis if you stand up every, you know, 15, 20 minutes and march around your desk a couple times. Do some deep knee bends and some squats, you'll be all right. You know what I mean? Maybe a couple push-ups here and there to keep the upper body strength going. How's that sound? This is so weird. People be so mad about something that doesn't really have any impact on them. I get mad about most of the things that I see. Like, I think there's, like, some kind of actual impact on myself or other people. But somebody wants to watch a gameplay, I don't give a shit, man. It's like the same attitude I have when it comes to... what was it we were talking about the other day? I know we had, like, a Mother's Day dinner. We were talking about... is it gay marriage or something? Like, I think the thing was... Like, you know, you can have the same attitude about two different things and people think, like, oh, my God. I think it was Mark Norman that said it. I brought it up. He's like, you know, if you have this attitude of, you know, hey, if you heard about this horrible thing that's going on, for example, right now over in the Gaza Strip, you go, I don't care. Doesn't affect my life. People are like, wow, what an asshole. You know what I mean? What a dickish thing to say. But if somebody goes, hey, what do you think about gay marriage? I don't care. Doesn't affect my life. Hey, you got the right attitude there. It's kind of funny how it works like that. Speaking of which, wow, how badly can America goof up just in general? Looks like we're heading back to another Donald Trump presidency, despite all the stuff that you want to hear in the media. They, like, try to hype it up like, oh, he's looking bad in the courts. Yeah, they're not going to convict his ass before November. He's going to be out free, fat, and eating cereal and stinking up places and running shit again before we have a chance to stop that. So I don't really have any faith that, you know, Americans as a whole are going to show up and make sure that he doesn't go back into office. I just don't have faith. But then the more I think about it, I feel like it might be the necessary thing. And hear me out. I think that, like, for us to actually really want to change as a society and as a country, we kind of have to come to a crash and burn point. You know, it's kind of like the whole thing when, like, we mentioned earlier, I was joking about hoarders, right? All right. So you see those people on those shows, it gets to a point where, like, yeah, you kind of have a landslide of garbage come from your living room into your kitchen and kill you one day if you don't get this shit out of here, right? I think that's probably where we're heading as a country. We probably really do need to crash and burn as a country before we'll get the message. Because even with all of our, you know, internet connectivity, our smartphones, computers, you know, 24-hour media, news media. We're still so dumb, just as people. Like, I've watched, like, the news, or I watch, like, you know, punditry programs and stuff like that, or even shit, stuff like The Daily Show. And you just get a glimpse of just how, soul-crushingly dumb some people are. And you look at them and, like, they have the ability to vote. And they're going to vote this way, against their own self-interest, by the way. 94, I think probably like maybe like 85% of the people who are going to vote for Trump are not going to realize that they are voting directly against their own self-interest, because he doesn't give a damn about any of them. But they're so stuck on stupid that they'll march into that ballot booth. And by the way, I don't think that like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have my best interests at heart either. I think that if there is a politician out there who could possibly enact some change, they'll kill him before he can get in office. They will, you know, JFK or MLK his ass, and that'll be it. He won't make it. So it's only going to be these options, I guess, until enough of us decide we don't want to play the game anymore. And Lord knows when that's going to happen. But yeah, it's a peculiar... It's a peculiar mindset to have when you're almost like, you know what? Just bring it on, dude. Bring on the rain. Like, I don't know what else to do here. I'm trying. You try to educate the folks around you. Try to get them to engage. Try to get them to care. Focus. You know what I mean? Like, this shit matters. Even if it is, like, your local government. Just something as small as just voting in, like, you know, city council election or whatever. Like, people just don't want to make an effort. Some people won't even vote. And it gets scary for me, because it's like, you know, you not voting also affects the future and the life of everyone around you. You know that, right? Like, this impacts all of us. That's why it's a community. Because we all commune together. And whatever happens to one will eventually trickle down to the rest of us. So if you go like, well, I don't vote because I don't believe in it. Well, guess what? Voting believes in you. And when things go tits up and you are like, what happened? Like, you know what didn't happen? You didn't check the box. You know, you can't bitch about it if you didn't participate. People are like, yeah, you can. No, I really don't believe that you can. I don't believe that you can. It'd be no different if, like, you know, it'd be no different than if you're with a partner or something and you're like, hey, I'm going to get some dinner, or I'm going to make something for dinner. What would you like? And they go, I don't know. You go, okay. And you just make whatever it is that you want that day. And they're like, I don't want this. And you're like, that's tough. You had a chance to vote and you didn't. So now you eat what I got, or you figure it out on your own. You know what I mean? Or even worse, you go, well, you didn't know what you wanted, and I'm not going to waste time and effort, so I just went and got what I wanted, and you can figure it out. Like, damn. But that's what voting is. That's what voting does. It gives you an opportunity to be involved and invested in the process, and with the most minimal of effort, because all you have to do is take, what, a couple hours out of a Tuesday? Come on, man. You spend more time per week scrolling aimlessly through social media than it takes for you to stop and vote one time every 4 years, and people still won't do it. It's staggering. Weeks of time. Literal weeks of time and hours just scrolling mindlessly through social media. Not looking for anything that you want to, you know, share with somebody for the giggles or to make some kind of impact or just to post about somebody's birthday. Just mindlessly just scrolling. We're all guilty of it, so don't look like I'm the only one. Just scrolling, and you won't even bother to pick up, you know, hey, I need like an hour and a half, 2 hours to go and vote. Pick up a pen, check a couple boxes, call it a day, hope for the best. Can't do that. Yeah, that kind of shit drives me crazy. And because it's so dismissive of like how easy it is to vote. it really is easy to vote. They can even send it to your house now. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't always the case. You could just sit in your house, scratching your ass. An envelope will show up. You check the boxes. You seal it up, throw it in the mail. You're done. And make it so easy, and yet people won't do like the most basic and simple thing that could help change not only their life, but the lives of everyone around them. Ugh, so weird. I shouldn't be surprised, but I always am. You know what I mean? I'm not a spring chicken. I'm 46 years old almost. I should know that this is the way humanity is, but it still gets me every time. You think I would have learned by now. But nope. Hopefully, I keep holding out hope that things are going to change. I think they will. But I really do think it's going to take like a serious crash and burn moment. Some people just don't listen. But you never know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is the year that people go like, hey, no, enough of this shit. We're not doing this. That would be incredible. I'd love to be wrong about that. I'd love for that to be the case. People are like, no. We saw what he did last time. There's no way we're letting him get away with this shit again. I'd be like, yes, we're moving forward. There's hope. I guess we'll see. Speaking of things that I really want to see, I've been looking around and I noticed that, like, you know, a lot of stuff hits streaming services pretty regularly. Be it, you know, the next installment of a film or, you know, great television series. Seems like, you know, network television is pretty much dead for all intents and purposes. So like streaming services are where it's at. But I just noticed I haven't really felt inspired to watch much that I see on, like in theaters. You know, they're like, oh, this is coming only to theaters. I'm like, yeah, who's going to pay $20 to see that? I know it sounds like kind of, I don't know, bleak, but I don't know. Have you guys seen anything that's coming out recently that you're like, yeah, I got to see that. That is something to go to the theaters for. It just feels like that's not happening much anymore. I hate to think that way too, because I'm sure there's plenty of wonderfully creative and talented people out there making great art that we would love to see. I just ain't seen any of it yet. You know what I mean? There's like maybe 3 films in the last year I was like, I really want to see that. Everything else I've kind of been like, eh. Sad too, because like if sometimes I'll even say this out loud. I hate that I'm saying this. I'll go, if only it was on this service instead of this one. Really? Like that was my thought. Like if only it was easier for me to do this. It's like it is. It is easier. You could click a button and you could have the exact same bullshit everybody else gets. You just didn't. Oh yeah. I was thinking about that because of the show Shogun on Hulu. And I was like, yeah, we don't have Hulu. I'm just going to miss this one. And, it's funny because, like I said, you can just push a button and you'll have it. But I think about, like, the services and how much they cost and how much they charge every couple of months. To the point now we're paying an ungodly amount of money for Netflix compared to just a year and a half ago. I mean, at this point, I think Netflix has gone up about 60%, it feels like. I remember being able to pay for Netflix and be like $12 a month. And I was like, ooh, this is a lot. This is a lot of money. I think Netflix now is something unreal for us. I couldn't even begin to tell you exactly how much it costs. I'm actually afraid to know. Yeah, I decided to click anyway and just find out real quick. A standard plan with ads is $7. It might actually be worth the ads to save the extra money. 1080p standard for, you know, all the HD resolution. You get like 2 devices you can watch at a time. That's great. That is $15.49. And the plan I think that we have is $22.99. The good thing about it is like we can put it on 4 different devices at the same time. So if we have guests over or if we want to watch something different at the same time, we can do that. Multiples afforded. I mean, it's just like the fact that it costs so fucking much. Like, I wonder what's going to happen when somebody, I read this the other day. I wonder what's going to happen when somebody finally finds a way to combine all the streaming services together and reinvent cable television, which is probably what we need, is somebody to go like, you know what? Do a Verve. If anybody remembers Verve, VRV, look it up. It was a service that used to be, I'm pretty sure it still exists. I don't know that it's usable anymore, but if it still exists, it's gotta be oh, damn near dead. Oh yeah, there it is. It got merged into Crunchyroll. There it is. Of course, Crunchyroll ate everything. But yeah, it was this service. It was really cool. It actually would let you kind of a la carte a couple of different streaming services for animation and also for like more niche things, like sci-fi or horror or whatever. You could bundle them all together and you could pick what you wanted and smash them together into one plan. And it was pretty cool for the first, you know, year or so it was around. And then it just ballooned out so much that it got bloated and fell in on itself. And that's when Crunchyroll took it. But I think that that'd be fun if somebody figured out a way to pull together another amalgamation and be like, and now we have, you know, stream cable or whatever the fuck you want to call it. And for, you know, you pay $22.99 for Netflix every month and you pay $35 for this or $15 for that. What if you could get everything for the low, low price of $44.99? Like, what? All your favorite streamers in one location, one low price. I'm like, bro, let me jump on that shit right now. And we have cable too. And it's funny because, like I said, we have cable basically just to watch the news, which is so dumb. I mean, I can't, except for when football comes around. That's about the only other time I'm watching regular cable television. There's no shows on television that I really care about. You know, there used to be like events and stuff like that you would watch, but everything's turned into a parody of itself or just a farce in general. You know, nobody gives a shit about the Oscars unless somebody's getting slapped or somebody's getting made fun of. So there's a no to that. It's really weird. We were talking about it the other day, just walking into McDonald's. I went to McDonald's to pick up some stuff for my wife. She wanted some snacky foods. So I stopped there. And just the joyless experience of a McDonald's is depressing. It's bad enough for folks to have to work for a corporation like McDonald's. That sucks. But McDonald's used to actually be a fun place to go to when you were a kid. I mean, this isn't very long ago I'm talking about either. Just within like the last 20 years. So from the year, we'll say from the year 2004 actually, we'll go from 2004 to like 2024. Just in the last 20 years alone, McDonald's has changed from like this wonderful, whimsical place that you would go and hang out as a kid to what essentially looks like a soup kitchen. There's almost no places. Obviously, you're not sitting down and eating at McDonald's anymore. Forget that. There's no little play spaces like they used to have where you could have the kids jump into the ball pit, which is disgusting and gross, but at least it was fun for the kids. There's no colorful seating and everything. Some McDonald's actually used to have a little game kiosk built into them. I don't know how many people remember that. Some of them had like N64s built into them. Shit, Pizza Hut used to have little arcade tables, little table you could sit down with your pizza and your soda and you could play a video game on the table where you're eating. They used to be places where you went to have fun. That just sucked the soul right out of them. It literally looked, it was like a cross between a soup kitchen and like a slaughterhouse. Just cattle being led and funneled into places to be pumped out like so much product. It was really weird and unsettling to be inside one. And I find that really depressing. So I kind of get how kids now are just so outlandish and so driven to clutch at anything that makes them feel even remotely alive or unique or colorful. I think that like just before me and like my generation and the generation before it kind of like we had the soul ground out of us by our parents, and then we just stopped giving a shit after a certain point. And I find that very sad and tragic. So I don't want that to happen to anybody anymore. How about we try something different? If you're following me over on Patreon, go to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. You can follow for free 99, okay? But feel free to send me a message and let me know what's a way that you try to put some of that color, some of that vibrance, some of that life, that joy of life, a little bit of childlike wonder. How do you find a way to put some of that back into your day? And if you have the opportunity, if you have children, especially if you have children, what do you do to make sure that they don't lose that? It's bad enough that the life is going to try to take its best to it, you know, its best shots at you as you grow up. But what do you try to do to help instill in them that sense of joy and wonder so that they keep some light in their eyes? You know, I'd be interested to hear what you guys have to say about that. Let's end this on like a hopeful note. Let's find some ways that we can encourage one another to keep a little bit of light, vibrance, and optimism in our lives. That sounds like a good thing to do. So let me know what you have. Stop over to visit me at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. I bet you leave your comments and stuff there. I can read them on the air for the next Patreon episode too. That'd be a lot of fun. We'll make that the free one. How about that? We'll start that one off with the free one. And let's hear what you guys have to say. And you know, again, check me out over on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib. I'm going to probably be not as depressing. Maybe I just need to eat something. I am kind of hungry. If I get some food and I don't go to McDonald's, maybe I'll have a little bit more energy, a little bit more joie de vivre when I go to do my stream later on. And then above and beyond everything, thank you all very, very much for listening. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your support. Thank you for being you. Go out there and have yourselves a good one, guys, and I will see you a little further on down the road. Peace.